The next sermon is by Elder O.W. Perkins at Rutledge in March 1960.
If I just knew what to say and how to say it, it looked like I wouldn't mind bidding. I wouldn't mind talking. I've never known how to begin, and I don't know how to quit or stop. I just don't believe, brethren and sisters, now I don't mean this just to fill up the place or to be a talking. I don't believe it lays or lies within any man to preach of himself. Now I want to make that clear. Now I could get up here probably and use a great big vocabulary of words and there wouldn't be nothing in the world to just be a silent. But I think I've lived what I'm fixing to tell you. When God enables a man to preach, that man is to the flesh of him is took plumb out of it. Now, I don't know where you understand what I mean or not. He's took plumb out of it. And I believe he'll speak everything that God has ordained for him to speak. And if he spoke that or ordained it, I believe that he has ordained for somebody to hear it. I never have felt like that God would impress a man to preach and then that go to waste. What do you all think about that? There's a text in the scripture on my mind. I hope, Brother Moore, I won't damage this no way. There's a text on my mind and a thought. I don't say that's where it's at. It's either in the 35th chapter of Isaiah or the 55th. And I want to quote that. But I believe it's the 55th chapter of Isaiah. As the rain which cometh down from heaven and the snow, it, the rain and the snow, it returns not thither, but waters the earth. And if you'll notice it real close, it says it makes that earth do something, don't it? It makes it to bring forth and bud. Is not that earth passive in the hand of the rain and the snow? What would you people, you don't have much of it down here. What would you think if you were to see it begin to snow down here and the earth resist it? What would you think? Wouldn't it be a mystery to you? Well now, brethren and sisters and friends, just give me a little privilege of telling it like I see it. If you rob me of it, I just must shut up and cave and said that. I believe it'd be just as easy for the earth to resist the rain and the snow that falls on it as it would be for a poor old human being to resist the God that made him. Now, if you don't like it, well, I can't help it. Now, I ought to finish quoting that text. It makes the earth bring forth and bud to give bread unto the eater and seed unto the sower. Now you see how there's the rain and the snow, some things we can see with our natural eyes. And Elder Donald and I have seen so much of it in Kentucky for the last month, it become monotonous to us. As far as that's concerned, I don't say I'm rebelling against my God. But I'm just a creature of complaint as much as you are. But now skip the next verse. So shall the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I want to make this statement, and I don't mean it in any boastful way, but if you can take this old book and begin at the first verse of Genesis and go to the close of the book of Revelation and show me by that word where God serve word never has failed to accomplish that which he pleased. I feel like I would shut up and took my head and go back to Kentucky and try not to go no more. I can't find it anywhere where that word has ever failed, can you? I find it has always accomplished that which he pleased, and it has always prospered in the thing whereunto he sent it. Now I want to read a text that while Elder Darnell was preaching so beautiful that I hope that he gave me, not Brother Darnell, but I hope my God did. It is the language of our blessed Savior, I say it's the language of him. Here is the language of his enemies, and yet he answered them. Now I want to read it. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If I've got any doctrine tonight, it's not mine. If I've got any doctrine, it's a doctrine that God or the one that sent me. And I believe the old Baptist people are so discerning that they can tell when they hear a man preach who the fellow is that sent him. I've always felt like that a man always preached the power of the one that sent him. Do you get what I mean by that? He'll betray himself every time. He might try to wrap it up, but watch him. He'll betray himself, and he preached the power that sent him. Now you all watch. You remember the Jews wondered how in the world the Lord Jesus Christ could preach. He never went to nobody's school. He'd never been taught by man. You notice him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews wanted to catch him in his language, to where they could bring him before the council, before the synagogue of the old king. And they sent out spies, a spy on his language. He knew what they were sent there for. Don't tell me. He told them on one occasion that he needed not that any man should testify. Man, you know what there is in him because he made him. He knowed exactly what they'd come out there for. And none of the disciples hadn't slipped around and told him what they're doing. The Lord Jesus Christ, when they come to catch him in his language, the Lord knowed all about it, he confounded those fellows that are sent out to catch him or to spy on his language. And when they went back and reported to headquarters, for the want of a better word, here was their report. Never did man speak as this man spoke before, having never learned words. Now, if I've got any doctor in her, it's not mine. Sometimes people hear people say, when you quote that book, that's old Baptist doctrine. Brother, the old Baptist ain't got no doctrine. I haven't got any brethren. If I had any knuck, it'd be like Perkins. And if you had any, it'd be like Darnell. But if I hope I'm not mistaken. But if I have any, it's a doctrine of God, my Savior. And I want to preach that in such a way that the gainsayer will just have to play dumb. He can't do nothing with it. And I myself, my eloquence can't do that. But sorry, if God is in it, I'm not afraid to meet the biggest gainsayer there is in the world. Because Jesus told his disciples, he said, when you go, take not two pair of shoes, not to take two coats, not to take a purse nor a strip, not to take any water, or to eat all our drink. What did he tell them? He said, behold, I send you as wolves among lambs. Is anybody down here would volunteer to go on a trip like that? Brother Moore, would you want to come up in our country when such as that face? Behold, I send you as wolves among lambs. That is, lambs among wolves. And heart, what did he tell them? He said, don't you take no forethought of what you shall eat, not even what you'll wear, not even what you shall drink. And didn't he send them helpless, dependable? He didn't say take two shirts and chains when one gets dirty or anything like that. He said, did not take two coats, no two pair of shoes, or anything like that. Now go with me on. Then he was gracious, except for another. And Jesus said, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He said that. No, I don't know, he said, either, brethren. He said, you shall be delivered up before kings for my name's sake. And he said, when you are delivered up before kings for my name's sake, take no forethought. Here's the doctrine of the hope of God, my God. When you're delivered up before kings for my name's sake, take no forethought of what you shall speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Ghost which is in you. And it shall be given you in the self-same hour what you shall speak. That's your text, Brother Darnell. It's not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost which is in you. Now then, there's, I hope, my doctrine. I've lived 43 years. That is, I've been trying to preach for 43 years. Will be the fourth Sunday in next August. And I'm telling you, dear children and brethren, I may never get back here no more, or you won't be any the worse about it. But I'm honest with you, I never even took a forethought of what I preached. Now, I want to make that clear. Don't understand me to say I haven't had a thought from the Scripture, but to just sit down and write, sketch out a sermon. I'm honest, brethren, I never have. I just never have done that. And here I've tried to kill myself over doing this very thing. They wanted to ordain me. I may not often to speak of this, but it's on my mind, no, and I guess it just as well do. I married the best woman I ever met in this world, the 27th day of October 1918.
in the first Sunday, Saturday in November 1918, the church called for a president to come and ordain me. And I protested against it, and the clerk of the church ordered me very boisterously to sit down, that I had no part in it. And my thought was, I'd just been married about 4 or 5 days. I says, well, I'll show you where I have any part in it or not. On Monday morning after the first Sunday in November, about 8 o'clock, I was going to show that church who had a part in it. And I taken 4 ounces or 5 ounces of very rank chicken poison, and I thought I'd wound it up. And sir, I went out, went into a non-recollection about 8 o'clock in the morning, and the next thing I know was Wednesday at 9, and I made sure that I died and I haven't. And now what? What made me do it? Some might say he was crazy. Well, I don't care what you say. It don't make any difference to me. I didn't want to. I've seen myself so dirty that I didn't want to take the precious name of my Savior in my polluted lips. I didn't want to take these filthy hands and go to that table and break that bread and milk, which is a member of the my Savior's body. I didn't want to take his little children and carry them down yonder stair of his that wicked grave. That looked like more, Dean, than I could do. And I decided I'd wind the whole thing up. But I'm still here. Now that's enough on that. I want to go down and look just a little while. If I lived over Sunday in August, about 11 o'clock in the day before I made my first effort. I'm sorry to be 43 years. And brethren, I've never preached from that day to listen when I sit down or satisfied with it. Have you, brethren, never been there? I've never been satisfied with it. Yet I bound to say, dear brethren, that I believe what I preach. But it looked like I said to everything I opened or said and left unsaid to everything I ought to say. But now let's get to the sweetness of it. So the Lord Jesus told the disciples, he said, now you haven't chosen me. 15 steps are gone, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you, that you should so go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Do you reckon they'd fail to do that? I don't believe they will, because he ordained it, and they're going. Lord, let's go along with it now. We find the Lord Jesus Christ. I told them disciples, I'm going away to Luigi. When he told them that, that is to be crucified, and he was going to leave them. And he told them something there. He said, sir, behold, I go up to Jerusalem, or we go up to Jerusalem, and all things are written of the Son of Man shall be fulfilled. He shall be betrayed in the hands of sinful men and shall be crucified. And rise again the third day. Now that I look at it, what do we find? The Lord told the disciples that night, he said, behold, all men should be offended for my name's sake. Them brethren told him, our disciples, sir, he said, no, we won't do it, especially Peter. Lord, do all men I'll not. I'll go with you in prison. I'll go with you in death. What did we find the Lord said? The Lord said, Peter, before the cock shall crow twice, thou might deny me thrice. Is that what he said? No, but what he said, before the cock shall crow thrice, twice I should deny me thrice. And now I see something. Now, if you want to get ready to shake your head, why, get ready. I can't help it. Brethren, I've had men to tell me that old Peter could have kept from denying the Lord. What do you all think? I've had them to tell me. Now then, what? That no head. Peter, he went along. And when he went along, what do we find? A girl come out and looked at him and said, you are one of them. And that man now said, I don't know who you're talking about. Now, Sir Paul Peter had said, yes, I know him. I know him. I'm going to die by him. I ain't going to forsake him. No. Wouldn't that what? Now, you put a word in there. It made the Savior out of a mistake. I called it one time what it is. My wife, she rebuked me. Said, I don't you ever hear you say that publicly no more. But now you know what it means. And another girl come out and it said, you're one of them. Ain't a girl a damsel? Ain't that what they are? And he says, you're one of them. He said, I don't know who you're talking about. Then what? Another one come out and says, you're one of them. For I saw you with him in the garden this evening. Peter got so mad he cursed and swore that he didn't even know the Lord. And that girl didn't quit questioning him. He said, your speech betrayed you. That old rooster crowed. I don't believe there could have been a hawk big enough to kill that rooster before he done that crowing. I just don't. What do you people think? He crowed. Did the Lord Jesus Christ look around and look here, Peter, did not tell you you're going to do that? No, he never said a word. But read your Bible. The only thing the Lord done, he just looked at Peter. Children, did you ever feel like your God looked down in your heart? And it's not necessary for men to tell you to repent. Women, it's not necessary for someone to come and tell you to repent. Whenever the Lord looks down in the heart of his children, then what? What did that old man do when he cursed and swore he didn't know the Lord? What that rooster crowed? Then Peter went out and he wept bitterly. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. I want to go and notice something else. They've taken the Lord Jesus and went in and tried him. Everything that the old prophets had prophesied got to come, every letter of it. I don't believe there was a letter I undotted nor T uncrossed. Is that too on the extreme? I don't believe there's a lie left undotted nor T uncalled. Now let's go to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And the old prophet of God spoke by Isaiah and said, O Lord, who hath believed our report, and unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Sir, he is as a root out of dry ground. There is no form of comeliness about him that we should desire him when we see him. Then what did he say? on about him. He said, the chastisement of our peace, don't you hope yours is there? The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He bore our sins and our iniquities all the days of old. Now what else did he say? He was led as a sheep dumb before her shearers. And he opened not his mouth. Thou see, if that wasn't predestinated of God, way back under 1,000 years before it come to pass. What was it? When they brought the Lord Jesus before the old king of poor Pilate, and there they was making fun of him and choosing him. He just stood there or sat, and sir, he is so dumb he couldn't speak or wouldn't speak. Now then, old Pilate bragged and said, here you not the charges that's brought again here. Now why ain't you now not your heart freed? Know ye not that I have power to crucify ye, or I have power to release ye? Then he spoke and he looked to me like it orders forever shut the mouth of ever gainsaying his fool. Jesus said to that ruler, you could have no power against me at all except it be given you of my Father. Now I'm going to make some more statement. Brethren, that don't serve, that it don't please God, sir, never does take place. I'll use it this way. That don't honor God won't never take place. Now you can make just all you want out of it. That don't honor God won't never take place. Now let's notice, Jesus spoke, and when he spoke, then what? That's going to get some more of it. We find that same prophet said he was numbered among the transgressors. Didn't they take two thieves right along with him? Yes, wasn't that the fulfill that? Brother, now look, I preach on the doctrine of predestination. I just love that doctrine. Is it a dangerous doctrine? They took two thieves along with him. Now, get ready to shake your head again if you want to. Brethren, I don't believe they could have done enough good moral input to put around their bar to keep them from being thieves. That's what Perkins believes, because God said he had numbered among the transgressors, and so them boys went there, and when they went with him, didn't they crucify one on the right, and they crucified one on the left? Now then, here he hung up there between the heaven and the earth, and the thieves, one on his right, and the one on his left. And did you ever read your Bible? There's two prayers prayed on the cross. Yes, there was. Who were there? Two prayers prayed. I wasn't the Billy King. One of them said, if you be the Christ, if, look at it, you be the Christ, come, deliver yourself, us and yourself, and come down the cross. And the other poor boy, let me say this, sir, there's an experience of grace told while a man is dying. Believe that dog. That poor boy said to that thief, dost thou not fear God, seeing you and I in the same condemnation? You and I receiving our just reward, but this man had done nothing to be it. What in this world, dear brethren, would make a man acknowledge of hell and his doom but the grace of God? What would make it do it? That boy said, we are receiving our just reward. Then that boy asked the Savior, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, wasn't he a believer? Wasn't he a believer there? Had he ever been baptized? Did the Lord say, I'll do good if you let me or accept me. Did he say anything to him there? Sir, wasn't that poor thief hung up there in a passive condition? Wasn't he in a helpless condition? And the Lord didn't lay a condition down before him. He says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I thought, if I'd done know that when my doom was sealed in this life, it would be as good to me or for me as it was for that old thief. And sir, what if I love to talk about my Savior, and I hope I want to do it in an honoring way. I want to do that. I saw when they crucified him. That was so solemn. The earthquake. The sun was darkened. And the earthquake and the rocks rent. I'm going to say, just imagine a little. My doctor's not mine, but his that said it, keep protection move. There was darkness over the whole earth for the space of 3 hours. I thought those 3 hours meant the 3 dispensations of time. This old earth couldn't be still. No. She began to tremble. I want to give you something else, Sam, I may never see anymore. But when that came in you, didn't that old body of yours tremble and quake? I did it all to you all that way. It quaked and it trembled, and the rocks rent. And sir, I thought I dismayed their children. It was so solemn that nature would not allow to look upon the death of her maker. She was clothed and shrouded in darkness. And now the Lord Jesus said, behold, I thirst. And they ran. I believe God put it in that boy's mind and gave him the strength and turned him up to get there on time. He ran and he dipped a reed, put a sponge on a reed and dipped it in vinegar, and he hoisted it up to the Savior's mouth. And Jesus tasted of that. What is that? That to me is a drug to the vengeance of God for his children. And he said 3 words that means everything to me. It is finished. What did he mean? I don't know what you dear brethren thinks he meant, but to me he meant I finished a work that my God has given me to do. What do you all make out of it? I finished the work he gave me to do. Let me stand just a few minutes longer. That's just, you might say, I'm beginning to get the sweetness of it in. We find the old prophet back under said, our God said by one of the prophets, from my vesture did they catch lots, and he said, they shall not rend my raiment. They wanted to tie that coat up that was woven throughout from top to bottom. It was without seam. That garment, he won't break that sometime. It didn't have a seam in it. Brethren, ain't that the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to his children, and he ain't a condition in it. It's got nothing sewn together with it. And there they wanted to tie that up, and they wanted to divide it between them. And that don't praise God don't take place. Get out and keep it if you can. What did they do? They remembered that it was wrote, my vesture they shall cast off, and my raiment they shall not rend it. And so they didn't tie that garment up, did they? If they could tore that garment up, they could have ruined the whole thing. But they couldn't tie it up. And now what? We heard that old receiver say that you'd kill me in the third day I rise from the dead. And now poor old Joseph, he went to Pilate and he begged the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Pilate give it to him? Now, brethren, I believe when Pilate gave Joseph that body, he gave the whole church in him there. He took that body and he carried it and he buried it. When Jesus died, the whole blood died in him. And when he was hanging there, the whole blood was hanging there with him. And when Pilate, Joseph buried that body, I swear the whole body was buried with him. But I realized they went to Pilate, and they didn't want him to get out and run off. They went to Pilate and told him, you give us authority that we might go and make your bones. Predestination's got to be fulfilled here. And God spoke of it by Moses 4,000 years before it come to pass. If it don't get away from me, I want to prove that. Now get my thought. I'm going to quote David to you. David says, surely the wrath of man to praise thee, and the remainder shalt thou restrain. You find that. I ain't afraid of what it's in that book. I remember my statement that don't praise God, I don't believe will ever come to pass. Pilate, now look. Pilate gave the men authority to break Jesus' legs. I break their bones and both of the feet, didn't he? They come to the one on the right. They broke his bones. And they come to the one on the left. And they broke his bones. And they were stopped dead in the tracks. They couldn't go no further. Is that a dangerous doctrine? They couldn't go no further. Remember now, the king decree was to break all of the bones. And I said that the don't praise God will never take place. And now what? Don't tell me them men hadn't been reading the Bible either. I know when they looked at him, they remembered it is written. They shall look upon him whom they have perished. And it is written, not a bone of his body shall be broken. Paul said, your bone of his bone, your flesh of his flesh, and your members in particular. If they could have broke one bone of him, when the final roll call had come, probably one of the little children would be absent. Is that a strange thing? I want to promise you that I proved that by probably 4,000 years before it comes to pass. Heard in Hastily, that lamb that God ordered Moses to kill and to catch his blood in a door in a vessel and put it up on the door lintels while the camp of Israel for at midnight. What is midnight? Midnight to me is the end of one day and the beginning of another one. At midnight, God is going over the land. I used to think it said to destroy an angel, but read your book, it don't say that. I never have had much use for a second-hand at God. I believe he taught it himself. Now if that's wrong or too hard for you, I can't help it. God didn't send somebody down there to do his will, but sir, he went himself, didn't he? And now he went there at midnight, and what was it? Wherever he seen that blood, he went on. And wherever he didn't see it, I've had men to tell me, was auctioneer with them. They could have resisted that blood, and they could have rejected it. You won't believe that. Be honest with me. Read your book. This people have I formed for myself and not another, and they shall show forth my praise.
I believe them Israelites were just as passive as they could be. They could no more have kept that blood from being put there than nothing. Well, at midnight, the end of the bondage and the beginning of the deliverance, God went over the land. And he didn't only, Brother King, get the man, the firstborn of the human race, but he got the firstborn of every dumb brute to us in that land. Oh, I quoted that in the tobacco barn last winter, a year ago, and a man said he was, he knowed he was saved, and he said, if God to do that, he's an unjust God. He told that brother, he said, why, man to do that, anybody do that, is an unjust God. Well, now, so, that wasn't the whole. He wasn't just catch that blood and take that lamb and throw it out yonder and let the, some power or some varmint eat it or something or other. No. Something good there, Brother Dean, if you just give it to me. People, that blood that had come out of that lamb that he put on the doorpost and the door lintels, they were to take that lamb and they were to cook that lamb. And they were to eat that lamb with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Did you ever eat anything, brother, that was unleavened, bitter herbs? That ain't very influential for your taste, is it? And here's the sweetness of it. And not a bone of that lamb body shall be broken. Read your Bible, that is about 4,000 years before it took place, wasn't it? Now what? Right at the very time when that full, that prophecy was to be fulfilled, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ are so ruled and so controlled by the God of high heaven, they remembered it's written, not a bone of his body shall be broken, and they couldn't break it. They could not. Then what? Poor old Joseph got, begged his body, and he went and buried it. Well, them fellas wasn't through with it yet. They couldn't break his bone, but they were going to still work at it. Now, I've heard them talk about trying to help the Lord. Wasn't they trying to prevent the Lord from doing his will? I'll have to throw that at them sometime. They're trying their best to keep the Lord from accomplishing his purpose. Well, read it. Read your book, folks. They went to old Pilate and said, you give us authority. Now, we want to go and seal up his tomb. And we want to set a guard, lest them old disciples come by night and steal him away and claim he's risen from the dead and the last day or be worse than the first. And so, Pilate says, you go and seal his tomb, set the guard and make it sure. And they did. They went and sealed his tomb and set the guard. Thought they had it sure. Now, talk about helping the Lord do something. Wasn't those men trying to prevent the Lord from doing something? On the other hand, I've had it with them. Don't say it boastfully. Did the Lord depend or require, ask man to help him? They was trying their best to keep him from doing something. Did the Lord require man to go down there and break the seal of that tomb? Did he send a preacher over there and beg that guard to just be quiet and slip off and let him raid it? Did he do that? No. But my God went down there with an angel. And he, that angel, broke the seal of that tomb. And he rolled that rock back. And when he rolled that rock back, was there a gunshot on that time? Was there? How did that guard do? That guard became as dead men. They become as dead men. And when they become as dead men, the Lord Jesus Christ arose. And when he arose, where did he go? Did he go out of there and went out down through the country advertising himself? Now, I just say that not in a
Not in a boastful way, but I say it in a way that I've got a point I wanted to bring to you. Didn't he tell them disciples to go down yonder and tarry? Sir. And what did the guard was it set for? The guard was set to keep them disciples from stealing away, wasn't it? Them poor old disciples is over yonder. I've heard men, but there's one thing I want to get before it gets away from me. When they come and examine the guards, come and examine the tomb, the Lord Jesus Christ is gone. The rock had rolled back, and he had risen from the dead. The authorities had come to see how they'd got through with it. The stone had been rolled back, and Jesus had been raised from the dead. And they didn't know what to come of him. And the modern preacher don't know what to come of him today. Them fellows went down in their pockets, and they got their money out, and they told the guard, here, you take this money, and you go and tell that why Yusuf, his disciples, come by night and stole him away, and we'll persuade the king, that is the governor, and secure you. Now there's a little treasure on my mind that just got to get it off. I come down to Fortin one time to preach a funeral, and a preacher helped me, he said he did, I tried to preach on the resurrection, and was going to bury the corpse, and I didn't like his eulogy, but I had to sit and take it. He said, Brother Perkins, I wished I could preach the resurrection like you do. He said, I believe it, but I just can't. I didn't care a thing in the world about his eulogy. I know he didn't mean what he said. I says, you know why you can't preach the resurrection? He said, no, I wonder why I can't. I says, you was one of the guards that was set in this tomb. That's the reason you can't preach it. I says, you're afraid to preach what you preach. Men will tell you that you've got to go to the Lord. Do they ever beg the people to go to the Lord down here? They insist on it without end up with us. Don't they do it, Brother Darnell? Wouldn't you love to go? If you ever find out how to go, write and tell me, Sam, I want to go. And if I ever get there and can go up myself, I feel like I'd love it so well I'd never go away from it. I'm up there. But the poor old disciples, there was a guard set over him to keep them away from him. And they were down yonder in a building, and the doors were shut. Did the Lord, when he rose from the dead, did he go down there and knock on the door and beg the disciples to open up and let him in? Read your book. He didn't even open the door or didn't knock. He didn't holler. He didn't tell him who he was. But he just went right through the midst of the door, and he come walking up before the disciples. And now look, he didn't lose any of his wisdom, brethren, when he died. I've got a little inkling. I'm going to give it to you, whether it's right or wrong. I never have believed that divinity suffered. I never have believed that divinity died. The flesh of him did die, but I don't believe divinity died. Now, that's worth, I take it for what it's worth. But he went back up. I went through that door. He come walking right up before them, and they looked at him, and they thought they were beholding or looking at a spirit. Don't the book say that? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, come and handle me. See that a spirit have not flesh and bone as you see me have. And children, he made them the grandest promises are. Oh, it's wonderful. He says, I am he that was dead, and I'm alive to live forevermore, and because I live, when did you speak that? On this side, I serve the grave, wasn't it? Because I live, you shall live also. am I staying here too long, brethren? Bear with me. I may never get back to see your beautiful faces no more. This is good to me, as far as I'm concerned. He opened. What did he tell him? He said, because I live, you shall live also. There's one boy that saw him crucifying, but he wasn't there. And that was Thomas. I want to try the mean to preaching the gospel and making believers. I want to try. Will you give me that liberty? Jesus, he went away, didn't he? Old Thomas, he wasn't there when the Lord come through the door. And after a while, Thomas come in. Peter, John, and James, Luke, and Mark, they told Thomas how he come through the door and how he come up out before them and how they handled him with their hand. And he must have been an old Baptist, surely. He said to them, boys, I will not believe unless I behold a nail print in his hand and thrust my hand in his side. They had been here in a good place. The preacher wasn't means of making believers, ain't it? Old Thomas says, I'll not believe it unless I behold a nail print in his hand. Now what? I'm going to say this. I believe Thomas saw them men crucify the Lord. Don't you all? Because he said, I must see them nail print. And I believe he saw that centurion on that sword in his side. Our spear, does it say spear or sword? Let me, whatever it may. And I believe he saw that water and blood run out of that side. He said, I'll not believe it unless I behold them nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand in his side. 8 days after, I believe it says 8 days on it, Thomas happened to be there. He was there anyhow. What had happened or not, he was there. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared again. And when he appeared again, you reckon some of the disciples went around and whispered to the Lord and told Thomas what Thomas had been doing? I don't think so. He knew all about it. Jesus did. And so he said to Thomas, come hither, Thomas. Behold the nail prints in my hand. I'll thrust your hand in my side. I'll be no longer faithless but believing. Did Thomas deny what he said? Did he put up any argument at all? I'm going to say God made him believe that. I've been accused of preaching that God gets a man to the hour. He didn't make him believe it. But brethren, I don't care what they accuse me of doing. In that way, I hope I've got something better than that. He didn't get Thomas to the hour and whip him into believing it. But he made him believe it by the weight of evidence. And that's why you believe it, ain't it? He made you believe it by the weight of evidence. And poor old Thomas, when he seen them nail prints in his hand, and when he saw that hole in his side, he said, my Lord and my God. Brethren, when God revealed himself to you, children, you can't do nothing else but say, my Lord and my God. I want to tell you something. And brethren, a woman come to the church in Mayfield one day and said, Brother Perkins, I want you to tell me something. What is the key to the Bible? I've never had that question asked me before. What is the key to the Bible? I went to the little room, you know, Brother Dean, and I got a bucket of water. And I come back, and that thing just rolling in my mind. Key to the Bible, key to the Bible. I set it down on the pulpit, and it's Brother Jim, Tom Chester's second wife, Brother Donald. And I said to her, I said, Lily, I said, do you ever read the 24th chapter of Luke? Where two of the disciples was going a Sabbath day journey, and so they was walking, and they were talking. talking, conversing one with another, and how the Lord had been crucified, and that day was the third day according to rise, and there was a stranger that appeared to him, and while that stranger, when he appeared to him, that stranger said to them, disciples, why are you sad, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? And then the disciples turned to him and says, art thou a stranger, a journeying in Israel? Know you not what took place? And he, as though he didn't know, I hadn't in the cooked a Bible on me, and say, when the Lord asked a question, that proved he didn't know all things. Well, he said, Perkins, it's reasonable. He says, you, if you knowed anything, you wouldn't ask a question in order to become in possession. And I said, well, my God and me is a whole lot of differences. I said, God don't ask a question in order to learn something. He asks a question in order to prove his full knowledge. There ain't no way of getting around that. And now here's another thing. And I hope to quit now in a few minutes. But I just can't hardly quit now. So he said to them, what things? And they said, that man Jesus, whom we hope to be that prophet, to come and to redeem Israel. Now recollect, they was trying to tell him what had took place, don't they? And he said, they said, they crucified him. And today is the third day for him to rise. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, old fools, didn't he call his own children fools? He says, old fools and slow of heart to believe, all that are written in the prophets, all about Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory. Now, here's your key, brethren. I can't give it to you, and I don't know where you can get it at. There ain't no factors in this country that got a make of it or even a pattern of it. And I wanted to tell you what I think the key is. And here it is. They were going to a little old place called Venus, wasn't it? They were turning along there, and Jesus went with them. And when he went with them, they got to the town. And the Lord Jesus Christ taken some fish and the bread, and he eat it before them. And now what did he do? Here's your key. The Bible said that he opened up their understanding. Read it. It's there. He opened up their understanding. And he opened up their eyes. You reckon them boys are going on there wandering in the dark, their eyes shut, plundering along? That one's the eye he opened. And the Bible says he opened up their eyes. And he opened up their understanding. Supposing he'd have opened their eyes and left their understanding sealed, how much good would it have done them? Is that foolish, brother? So he opened up their eyes and he opened up their understanding. Where to begin? 4,000 years back up. It began from Moses all the way down through the prophets. And don't the word expound mean to explain? Ain't that what it's meaning of it? He expounded the scripture unto them and he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scripture. There's the key, brother. Am I wrong? There's the key to the book. It ain't for sale. And you can't buy it. And none man can't do anything to get it. But God gives it to whosoever will. And I'll tell you who that'll be. All our children should be taught of God. Don't worry about it, brother. All our children should be taught of God. And grace shall be the peace of thy children. Well, he left them. And when he left them, them boys began to talk one to another. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? How he opened up our understanding that we might understand the scriptures. Brethren, I want to ask you, have you ever picked up that book of your sisters? Have you ever picked it up and tried to read it when it was sealed? Have you ever tried to do that? just so yielded you couldn't get a thing. Then have you ever picked it up and tried to read it and look like it just like a chain? One link brings another and another and another and another. Well, ain't it all anchored in the God of high heaven? And I want to say another thing, children. When you could pick that book up and read your experience in it, it's good to you. Ain't it good to you? Ain't it, brother? Well, I must quit. Maybe the last time. Maybe the last, I don't know. But I'm quit for this time. I have went home, Brother Dean, and almost swore I'd never go no more. Old Jeremiah thought he wouldn't go no more. He said, "Oh Lord, I spoke in your name once, I speak no more." But he said his word was in my heart. As far shut up in my bones, I was weary with a burn and I couldn't stay. And he said, Lord told him what to cry. Cry that all flesh is grass. Not as grass, but grass. And the goodness thereof is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of God will stand forever. I believe, brethren, all of the Lord's children will be taught, don't you all? And I believe more than that, that everyone that he died for one day will be around the great white throne. And I don't believe that they get far enough going on, far enough down this way, or far enough that way, but what he can reach them. I believe he'll reach them, and he'll bring them at the right time and the right place. And they'll all know him. And they'll all be housed around the great white throne. Goodbye, farewell in the Lord.
Turn the tape over to the other side, which is the first side, and record on track number 2.